Now we have John following his usual format here, and his method was to give an incident or a miracle, and then after it, to give a discourse on that particular subject or in that particular field. Now, here the Lord Jesus in verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, he makes the statement here, "I am." And this "I am" occurs again and again. Back in the Old Testament, it was Jehovah, "I am who I am." And very frankly, you're not told too much about God other than He is the self-existing One, that He has all wisdom, and that He has all power. But beyond that, we don't know too much about Him. And the Lord Jesus came to this earth not only to redeem man, but to reveal God to man. And we find Him in this gospel, "I am." Back in the 6th chapter, in verse 35, He said, "I am the bread of life." Here He says, "I am the light of the world." And over in the 10th chapter, verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And then in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And then in chapter 11, verse 25, He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And then in the 15th chapter of John's gospel, "I am the genuine vine." And then He goes on to say, "I am the vine and ye are the branches." Now, this sheds a great deal of information on who God is. And He takes these tremendous things out there in the world. We find here that He takes the commonplace, like bread and light and water and those things, and He uses the commonplace to speak of the remarkable, the ordinary to speak of the extraordinary, and the physical to speak of the spiritual, and the temporal to speak of the eternal, and the here and now to speak of the here and the hereafter, and the earthly to speak of the heavenly, and the limited to speak of the unlimited, and the finite to speak of the infinite. Now we have here, He is the light of the world. And I suppose that this is probably the highest statement that He's made here when He said, "I am the light of the world." You see, He's exposed the sin of the scribes and Pharisees who brought that woman. They were just as guilty, and they had to flee. And now He's forgiven the woman her sin. You see, He is the light, and He now proceeds to give a discourse on light. You see, Christ turned on the light, and sin and rats and bats and bedbugs cannot stand the light. That's the reason these scribes and Pharisees left. He is the light. This is the highest claim He's made so far in the Gospel of John. Fact of the matter is, one of the definitions of God over in the Epistle of 1 John is, God is light. That's the first definition. God is light. He's holy, He's righteous, and He's just. And I suppose light is one of the most complicated things of all. And it's certainly one of the essentials today. Life would be impossible without light. And you see about us today plenty of light that is physical light. And yet it's complicated. Who really knows what it is? You ask the next scientist you meet. And one of them will tell you it's just a wave. And then you meet another scientist of equal reputation. He tell you it's not a wave at all, but it's actually particles of matter. And the startling thing is that men, acting on both of these definitions, these great principles, they've been able to make remarkable inventions today. Now, some tell us that both are true, yet they tell you both cannot be true. Well, I don't know what light is. Is light the absence of darkness? And is darkness the absence of light? Well, the room is filled with light. What do you mean? Well, you say that you're in the light. Do you weigh any more because you are? And there's no such thing as color without light. And actually, a red rose is not really red because it is absorbed every other part of light except red. And that's the reason we see red. That is in a rose. Now, a child may not understand light, but he knows enough about it to come into a dark room and turn on the switch and play in it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is light. He's spiritual light. Just as the sun is physical light, he's spiritual light. And all the light that this poor world enjoys physically comes from the sun, and all the spiritual light that this poor world gets comes from Jesus Christ. And just as a little child can have enough sense to get into the presence of light, any sinner today, though he be a fool and a wayfaring man, can come into the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, there are those that today deny that Christ is the light of the world. Well, they're walking in a lesser light. And after all, the moon has no light of its own. It's derived light, reflected light, and it comes from the sun. This civilization that you and I live in today owes everything to Christ. The hospitals, the charities, the orphans' home, the consideration of the poor, the rights of labor. You hear all of these mentioned today. And you know why we're having the problem we are? Because we've got too far from the light. The world is just walking in moonlight today, and they're doing a lot of moonlighting, by the way. We are to walk in the light of which the Lord Jesus is. Now, this is a tremendous claim he's making. And he says here, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." There are those that have attempted to say that Christ is the headlights on the car and we're to get in the car. I don't think that's the illustration here. The illustration is this. That's the pillar of fire in the wilderness that led Israel, and we are to follow him in that sense. We're to look to him as the light of the world.